For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Bring Your Own and Catch All Bookish Most of the Time podcast. I'm Brandy.
I'm Kendra.
I'm Kayla.
And today we are talking audiobooks, which we kind of talk a little bit about audiobooks every single time we talk because we love audiobooks. But we're going to dedicate an entire episode for the first time since season one to audiobooks. We're excited.
This will be fun because, like Brandy said, we haven't talked about it in so long. And like, first of all, if you've never listened to season one, don't go back.
It's okay. You really don't have to.
You shit on season one so much. I had so much fun with that season.
I know. We had so much fun too. It just sounds really bad.
It's just, yes. It's just cringy to go back and listen to now.
It's camp.
Yeah. It's just going back now. Just seeing how far we've come, it's definitely nice. But, you know, it's just one of those things where you look back and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, if we hated it that much, we'd delete the episodes. We don't.
No, I would never.
Place in our hearts.
Yeah, this one's a little bit different too because last time we brought specific audiobooks, like we each talked about one, and I think this one, you know, we'll talk about a multitude of many, just a multitude.
But before we get started, what are we reading? What are we drinking? Can I go first?
Mm-hmm. You may.
Okay, I am drinking a black tea. I've gotten kind of into tea, you guys.
Wow. Nice. What's your mug? Like, what's on it?
My cat from home. My mom printed his faces all over it. His name is Leo. I love him so much. Aww. My old man. He's like 16.
Oh.
Yeah. So I've been enjoying like a black tea in the mornings because Daniel found this tea that has like extra tea oil in it, so it's like triple caffeine of what a normal black tea is. So I'm like, that sounds good.
Dang.
Yeah, so that's what I'm having for my drink. And then the reason I want to go first is because, you guys, I started Chain of Iron this morning. It's so good. I am on my last Shadowhunters series before I'm caught up and just waiting for Wicked Powers. It's so good. I'm having so much fun. I got the audios on Libby. I'm listening to that. And then I am still beta reading People Watching by Hannah Bonham Young. And I'll probably finish that today or tomorrow.
So it's a really, I'm excited for your rankings when you're all said and done.
I'm excited
Chain
too.
Chain of Thorns is a good, like, that's like a time. And then you get, no, not Chain of Thorns. Chain of Iron is a time. Chain of Thorns is still good, but then you get a little fatigued.
I'd like knew a lot of the stuff that was going to be happening in this series because way before, I like, told Kendra, I was like, there's zero chance I'm reading the rest of the Shadowhunter series. Just like, tell me everything. So we had talked about it. I've forgotten a lot, but also there's so much I didn't know. I'm just having so much fun.
Love.
Kendra, what about you? By the way, Kendra, you look very nice today. I just want to say that.
Oh, thank you.
You look, I don't know what it is. You just look nice
thank
today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Brady, you look like...
I am just wearing a dress and
I don't know, like your hair looks really, I don't know, I like the bun situation. It looks nice.
Thank you. I showered this morning, so
okay.
I am drinking a Hawaiian Shaved Ice Alani Nu.
I thought you were gonna stop at Hawaiian
same.
Shaved
I was
ice.
Like,
I was like, where did you get a shaved ice from?
No, it's flavored Hawaiian shaved ice.
Okay. Fun.
I'm listening to You Again by Kate Goldbeck for the second time. I think it's a really good fall book. And yeah, I'm almost done. I'll probably finish it today. I could have finished it yesterday. I just, you know, I didn't want to listen to anything yesterday except music. So yeah. I say that on an audiobook episode. I didn't want to listen to my audiobook yesterday. Nice. Yeah, that's it.
I just have water today. I've been feeling really like sickly lately, and I feel like it's just also me being a little dehydrated. So need to hydrate. And then I am on the last book of the Ember in the Ashes series by Saba Tahir. I know. I've been having a really, really good time though. So it's called A Sky Beyond the Storm. And I've been like kind of mixing doing the ebook and the audio version between the two, but there was a hold for the ebook, so I just did the audio, or I am currently doing the audio. I also have the physicals, but I've mostly been doing like the ebook, and because I want to highlight in there and stuff like that. But I'm really enjoying them. They're so good. Having such a great time.
I don't even know what that's about. I can picture the OG covers though, like with the sky and like the girl and
yeah. I mean, I had no idea either, but it's, you don't want to hear me butcher the explanation, so it's just kind of a lot, but it's really, really good. I feel like I've seen the book around a lot, but I had never really seen the series like really actually talked about, like what you're saying, mm-hmm. like you didn't know what it was about.
Yeah,
I had no idea what it was about.
Though, like all the
time, I would see it in like those videos that are like amazing fantasy series, and then like people would hold it up. Yeah. But I've never seen somebody be like, this is what this book. Yeah, I know
right,
exactly. You mean.
Exactly.
But is it one of those like where you have to keep it under lock and key? Like, is that why?
No, it's just like if I say it, it's just like it's gonna sound so uninteresting. There's just so many elements surrounding it. It's basically about, you know, an empire that is the ruling class over a bunch of these they're called scholars, and there's the ruling class has these people called the masks, and they literally wear like Phantom of the Opera type masks, think of it like that. And they're which are basically children trained from very young age to be, you know, this their army. It sounds so stupid, but just like trust me, it's so good. It's so good. Okay. But yeah, I've been really, really enjoying that. So that's currently what I'm reading, and not reading anything else at the moment. Yeah.
Amazing.
That's all.
Let's get started.
Okay. First, let's just start by talking about our stats for the year. Cause if you've listened to pretty much any episode of the podcast, like at all, then you know that we love audiobooks here. I think the majority of how we read so many books for most of us, I think it's pretty much the same story for everybody. The majority of the books that we consume are audiobooks in a year. Mm-hmm. So guys, how many audiobooks have you read this year versus how many you've read total?
81% of my reads have been audiobooks.
Wow.
A huge part of that was because of my summer job. Because mm-hmm. in June and July, I read one singular book, physical book. So the rest were audio. I've read 125 audiobooks this year.
Wow. That's so impressive.
Wow.
It's a lot of my 154. Yeah, 125 have been audio.
Wow. Kendra?
Well, this might be like off by one or two because like of betas and stuff I haven't put on StoryGraph. Mm-hmm. But I've read 133 books on my StoryGraph. And then 66% of that has been audio, which is 88 audiobooks. But I think that, no, that would be right. Cause I think, no, I don't know. That might be because sometimes when you like do like an audio arc, it's not on StoryGraph. So I have to like log it as like,
a different,
I need to go. Yeah like go before back, the yeah, year's over, I need to like make sure. But yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Almost exactly 2/3. I feel like that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, because then digital is like 24% and then print is 10%. I've read 13 physical books this year, and most of them were Heartstopper comics. So
my digital is 12% and my print is 7%. Very little. Mm-hmm. Kayla Ann.
I have read 136 books this year. Of that 136, 82 were audiobooks, and 60% were audiobooks total. And then I've read 31% digital and 9% print. So, yeah, that's my split.
Nice. Have your guys' audiobook habits changed since the last time we've talked about audiobooks?
I listen to more, I think, than every year I go up more and I'm more, I think, I don't know. I want to say I'm more open, but sometimes I'm not. Because I think I've been listening to more. Like, I think the last time we did this, I was very like, if it's these people and it's this type of book, like, I'll do it on audio. But now I'm like, if it's on audio, like, thank God. Like, I don't want to, I don't know. Sometimes it's so much effort. Like, I'm going to get the fucking, like, book police out. But, like, it's so much effort, like, holding my Kindle or holding a physical book. Like, I just want to listen. Like, that's it. Like, I don't want to use my eyeballs.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel that way. Yeah. I don't know that my habits have really changed because I still, like, use audiobooks the same way, as in, like, if I'm cleaning or if I'm doing a hobby that doesn't require a lot of brain activity. You know, I don't feel like my habits have changed that much. And yeah, maybe I am also, like, more open. There's, like, a couple of narrators that are on my never list.
Same.
But I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty open. I don't hate Teddy Hamilton as much as Kendra does.
Oh, yeah. I hate him, but I still listen to, like, two books that he did this year. Right. Like, oh, yeah,
you listened to one by him this month. So, all right. No.
I did?
No, you didn't. Just kidding. For some reason, I was thinking he did Lost and Lasso.
He did not. Thank God.
He did the last book. Not Lost and Lasso.
Which I listened to this year, too.
Yeah.
But he can do those books. I know. That's fine. It's everything else.
You said get him out of the city.
Yeah. Like, it actually pains me. Like, you are a voice actor. You're telling me you can only do that fucking accent? Like, drop it. Anyways, what were we saying, Kayla?
He belongs in Wyoming, in Texas, Montana. Yes.
Small towns. Like, stop. Brandy, how have your habits changed? I can talk about Teddy Hamilton all day.
Mine have not changed a ton, I don't think. I still prefer audiobooks. They are my preferred means of reading a book. Mm-hmm. I would say that almost 100% of the books that I have physically read this year either did not have an audiobook or the audiobook had not come out yet.
Right.
So
okay,
there are, like, some series, like, I'll never read a Magnolia Parks book on audio first, you know what I mean? Like, that'll always be like a reread thing. So there are some, but I will say that something I have noticed about since school started this year, I have way more people I like as coworkers this year. So I'm listening to a lot less audiobooks at work, which is fine. It's good. I need to touch grass sometimes, you know. But I used to, like, get to work, so I would, like, funny, put my headphones in anytime there were not children in my room that I was actively teaching, headphones in, head down, like, working on something, listening to an audiobook. Whereas this year, like, I have friends, and if we have the same prep, like, we'll hang out and I eat lunch with people. So that's good. But it has,
yeah, that's nice.
It's good. I just have been finishing less audiobooks, which, again, is fine.
Yeah. I don't know if we talked about this in the last episode, like, our speeds. I feel like that's changed for me.
Oh my God. Yes.
Like, the speed it was
jacked it the fuck up.
Yeah. I think anything less. So, listen, we love this program so much. We're all very proud and happy to be a part of it. PRH Audio. On their app, for those who don't know, they only let you go up to 2x speed, which is the most, like, annoying grading thing. Because yes. Because I listened to all of Shadowhunters this year on Libby, I was able to bump my listening speed up to, like, 250, 275, jeez, honestly, if I need to, like. And that's why I love audiobooks, because you can, like, vary the speed at which you are reading, listening to something.
Yeah, however fast your brain is moving that day is how fast the book can go.
So my preferred speed, yeah, it's 2.5 to 2.75.
Holy shit. Is that what you start at?
I start at 2.5, yeah.
Well, it depends on the accent, too. Sometimes I have to, like, if they're British or something, I have to bump it down. People,
they speak too quick.
Yeah, but once I get used to their voice, I can bump it up, like, fine and understand them, but
I'm the same. I start at 2.5 these days, and I, like, right now I'm listening to Chain of Iron on 2.75, but when I'm listening to an audiobook to fall asleep, which, like, anytime Daniel's traveling and I'm, like, by myself, I listen to an audiobook to fall asleep, and I have to lower that down to, like, 1.7, 1.8. Otherwise, it's too fast. Not calming.
I don't remember what I said my starting speed was at the beginning of last year.
You used to do, like, 1.4.
I did used to do 1. I don't know if it was 1.4 at that point. It might have still been. But I do now start at least a 1.6. 1.7, 1.6 is usually where I start. Why are we laughing?
I was laughing at the fact that when I was listening to One Star Romance on PRH, I texted you guys and I was like, listening to this on 2.0 speed is torture. And you said torture is crazy.
It is crazy. But yeah, because I am the type of person who my brain can't process spoken word as fast as I can process written word. So when I have been doing an immersive read, for example, of the Ember and the Ashes series, if I am looking at the words while also listening, I bump that up to like 2.6 because I can do both.
You're flying, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, my brain just processes written words so much faster. That's usually what I do. But if I am, you know, not enjoying the book as much as I would like to, then I usually bump it up to 2.0 or higher, depending upon what the app allows. So,
it's my favorite thing to do. Oh my God, especially when I'm like hating it. I'm like, I'll just get this done.
That's so interesting because, okay, so then question, do you guys think that you have a harder time DNFing audiobooks versus physical books?
Yes.
Yes.
Because like with an audiobook, I'm like, I can get through it. I can do something else while I'm listening to it. Mm-hmm. Physical book, if I'm not enjoying it, DNF. Like, goodbye. Yeah.
I was going to look at my DNF stats. I'm not that great of a DNFer, to be honest with you, but I just wanted to like look at the DNF stats and see if they were like mostly physical versus audio.
A lot of books I DNF, they don't even... Oh, I did DNF an audio, the last one I did, and I'm so sorry to anyone who enjoyed this book because I did see a few of my mutuals who really liked it. It was that Name Your Price book by Holly James. I got it on PRH. It was just so boring.
Again, probably if you could have bumped it up to 2.75, you probably would have finished it.
But it was just one of those things where I kept waiting. Like, it was just like they were talking in circles and I was just, drag.
The last audiobook I DNF'd, or almost DNF'd but didn't, the one that I bumped up to 3.0 speed, that is the type of book when people say they hate the miscommunication trope, that is the fucking book. Like, everything they were saying to each other, we knew that they were taking it the wrong way. And like, it was the whole book. It wasn't even just the third act. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, wait. I DNF'd. Ooh. I forgot about it. It was on Libra FM, the Wreck My Plans, like holiday book. I started it because Samantha Brentmore was doing it. The FMC. There are certain things that a good narrator can't save. The FMC did this thing where she listed all of the things that she would do for Taylor Swift. Like, I would like... carry her coat. I'm paraphrasing, so I forget, but it was like, I carry her coat, I do this, I do that. You are 30 and single, and that is the reason why. Like, please, 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 please.
Up.
Like, that was just so, like, and the book is called Wreck My Plan, so, like, obviously it was, like, meant for the Swifties, but it just, I can't. That was not for me.
I've only DNF'd, I soft DNF'd an audiobook earlier this year that I do plan on returning to, just because I wasn't in the right headspace. For The Prisoner's Throne by Holly Black.
Oh, I need to read that still.
Yeah, I didn't remember anything from The Stolen Heir, so I was just like so confused and so like, oh, what is going on? So I'm going to reread The Stolen Heir eventually and then go back. So that was a very soft DNF, but I've DNF'd one audiobook this year, and it was a historical audiobook called Fear and Fortitude by Sherry Champagne. And that one was just a tough listen.
I have DNF'd two audiobooks this year. Haunted Ever After by Jen DeLuca, which...
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, I really was so bored. Mm-hmm. And then same situation with Isabel and the Rogue by Liana De La Rosa, which I enjoyed the first book in this series. And I'm trying to remember. No, yeah, I did the ebook for that one. But this one was, yeah, again, boring. And I didn't I just didn't feel like doing the legwork of just bumping it up and, you know,
forcing yourself,
sticking it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we all have our favorite narrators that we've talked about many times on this podcast. You know, Zachary Weber, Jason Clarke, Samantha Brentmore, Julia Whalen, etc. But are there any new favorites recently or any new ones that you avoid? We've talked about Teddy Hamilton, but any, and if he's in the city, if he's in the city. But are there any new ones that you love or ones that you've decided are on your never listen list?
Yes, new ones. Mm-hmm. Let me start by saying, I think we need better male narrators all around. Like,
yeah,
there's Zachary Weber and then there's everyone else. Like, I don't think there's a single male narrator that I'm like, for me, sorry, don't shoot me, that I think
I was gonna say,
that can do what he does, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, there are good ones, but he's, like, great. Like, he can do a lot.
I will when he's agree enthused. With you there.
When I think, he's enthused. Yes. You can tell when that man is phoning it in these days.
But even then, his phone in is better than like a lot of other male narrators, like Best Days.
I think what Zachary Weber does so well that I kind of agree with you, because I do I do think that there are great narrators. Like, obviously, I think Jason Clark is, you know, great. Or I really, really, really like Connor Crace. But I think what separates Zachary is that he is so good at not only doing his character's voice, but other characters' voices. Like, especially if it's like meant to be a funny scene. Like, I think all the time of the scene in Savor It with when they're in the town hall and like they're arguing amongst all the townspeople, or like whenever he does Abby Jimenez funny scenes, you know, like just those types of moments, I think, are what separates him a lot from other narrators.
For me, it's not even like the funny moments, it's the angsty moments.
That sure, it's any moment.
Yeah, because he actually has like versatility. Some people just, anyways, but the only other male that I like recently, who I only ever listened to one book of his, but he has a very extensive like backlist. He did Love at First Sight by Cara Bassone, Santino Fontana. So tell me why. I looked him up and he did, let me double check that I'm not about to lie. Okay, I'm not. He did The Songbird and Snakes, Hunger Games. So I'm like, okay, resume, like, that's amazing. He did You, the book version of the TV show.
I've heard his voice then, because I listened to that audiobook.
So I'm like, okay, we need you, like, in more, because you are really good. I don't know what his female voice sounds like, because Love at First Sight by Cara Bassone was duet narration, but he's probably the only other male narrator that I'm like, okay, like, that was a really good performance.
You guys want to hear what was just crazy? Because I was like looking at my list. I like wrote down a list of like recent audios that I've really loved. And I was trying to think like, okay, who else do I like as a male narrator? And I was thinking, oh my God, obviously I loved Wisteria this year. Who is the male narrator? Who is the male narrator for that? It was literally just Kristen Atherton the whole time. She killed it. But she's great though. So yeah, I was incorrect. But I do think that I'm listening to, like, again, I've said 100,000 times this episode already, with the Ember in the Ashes series, I think that narration is really great. Steve West is his name. I was trying to find his name. Everybody in this series has like an accent, like a British accent, but he does a really good job. But I'm like literally trying to, I like looking at my list of books, they're like almost all done by one person, except for a couple which were done by Zachary Weber or somebody else. So like it's just hard to find good male narrators. You're right.
Yeah, just male. But women, I have two.
Okay.
That I'm like obsessed with if they do it. Like, I will listen to it that I haven't talked about before. Kristen DiMercurio, I think, is phenomenal. Literally, if there is a queer person or it's written in third person, she's your girl. Like, she's so good.
I know queer book hates to see her coming. Yeah.
No, like, because she eats it up. she does such a good job. Like, she's doing You Again by Kate Colbeck, which is like 2-for-1 special because Ari's queer and it's written in third person. And she does all of Ashley Herring Blake's books, which is again a 2-for-1 special because they're all queer and they're all written in third person. And then Kristen C, who I also think goes by Hathaway Lee.
Yes.
Is that her? Okay. Yeah. I love her.
They are like phenomenal. I love them so much.
Because Hathaway Lee, she did
Business or Pleasure by
that's what I'm Rachel thinking
and Solomon. Of. Mm-hmm. And she did Smart Women by Judy Blume, which is an audiobook I just did recently. She had to play like fucking four different people in that. It was written in third person, but like the way she like, I don't know, she did really good. And then she did The Art of Catching Feelings by Alicia Thompson, which again, shitty trope, but it's a good book. I gave it 3.5 stars, but it's a good book.
She also did Funny You Should Ask by Lisa Sussman and Hank Green's books.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with his brother, John Green.
Yeah. I mean, but John Green gets like good narrators too. I forget the narrator of Turtles All the Way Down, but she like killed it.
For male narrators, the only ones that I've really added to my list that I'm obsessed with are, or like not even obsessed with, I would not say I'm obsessed with these people, but like people that I'm like, oh, like I know it's going to be done well. Connor Crace. I can't remember if he was on our list at that point last time that we talked about audiobooks, but I don't think so. He's good. And also Ewan Morton. I liked his voice a lot. He's British. Very fun. People who have been moved into my will not listen list for male narrators. I can't remember. Sebastian York was already there. I think I was still putting up with his mediocre ass last time we talked about it. I will not listen to a Sebastian York audiobook ever again in my life. I listened to one last year because I wanted to read that series so bad. And it was God of Malice. God of Malice. Oh. The way that that man sounds like he's 90, it like literally it filled me with pain and rage. But thankfully, most of that book is from the girl's perspective. But female narrators, Rebecca Lohman, she's become one of my favorite narrators ever. She does all of Rainbow Rowell's adult audiobooks. And she's so fucking good, and it pains me that she doesn't do more romance because almost all of her other books are not romance. But yeah, those are the only ones that are really sticking out to me because there's been like great like one-off experiences I've had with narrators. Like, for example, A Fate Inked in Blood by Daniel L. Jensen. Like, that narrator did a fantastic job with that audiobook, but like it's not like I'm like going to go seek them out to listen to more of their books. I don't know.
Yeah, The Seemingly Impossible Love Life of Amanda Dean was narrated by Victoria Villarreal, and I don't think she's done something. I know, like it's one of those voices where it like sounds familiar, but you can't place it. And I should have looked up what other audio she's done beforehand. But she was really great. I also really like Natalie Nottis, who I believe she is Asian American. She does Helen Huang's books, and she does a book that I read earlier this year by KX Song called The Night Ends in Fire. She does other books too, but
Helen Huang's narrator, she does other stuff.
Yeah, that's Emily Zu Wilder.
Oh, well, are they by the same name?
I know something they might have like.
She did The Heart Principle. I know that for a fact. Natalie Nottis did.
Emily Zu Wilder.
Because, you said Helen. I was like, oh, I thought she had a different name.
Oh, maybe because that's what it says on Audible.
That's the shitty part about narrators is that they all have like 40,000 different names.
I know.
And then you're like, wait, I've heard
this
before.
Am I wrong?
Like, listen, I love Samantha Brentmore, but I saw her name. Yeah. She just narrated
the most famous girl in the world.
Yes. And I saw that name and I said, aren't you white? Sorry. Yeah, like, that's a very ethnic sounding name. Maybe she is. I don't know. But I was a little confused.
I kept saying Emily Zu Weller. It's Emily Wu Zeller. I was mixing up the Z Zeller. And the W.
Okay, yeah. Got you.
Okay, so are they the same person? Her and Natalie Nottis?
Natalie Nottis.
Baddies. I don't know. I can't find the answer to your question, Kayla.
Interesting. Anyway, I like her.
So other male narrators that I like are Dan Bittner. He did Same Time Next Summer by Annabelle Monaghan, which is not a good book, but he's a good narrator. It was him and Brittany Presley, who I don't know if we even mentioned Brittany Presley on our last episode, but she's like probably my favorite female narrator outside of the two that I already mentioned. Like, she fucking kills it. And then the guy, I think this might be the same guy, Dan Bittner, might also be Will Peters. He did Lizzie Blake's Best Mistake, which I thought was like really interesting how he tackled that, because it's written in third person. So he does the third person narration in his normal American accent. But then anytime Rake would talk, he would bring on the Australian accent, which I thought was like pretty cool, because I guess like that's how it would be done, like, because a narrator is like their own person. So I'm pretty sure those are the same people, but he's not bad. He's done something else too. I think he probably did one in Cara Bastone's audios. But yeah, he's solid.
Kendra, is there anybody else that you have added to your avoid list?
Not avoid. I think I just indulged too much. And it's Vanessa Edwin. I need a break from her. Mm-hmm. Love her. She's so great. Oh my God, phenomenal. But it was like, I was on a kick where it was like everything needed to be narrated by her. And now my ears can't take it anymore. But she has a really good, like, her and Brittany Presley have the best male voices. As female narrators, they're really good at it. They like make the guys sound hot.
What book did I listen to this year where they were both on the same book?
It was like that. It was a gay book, right?
It was gay. LGBT. Were they on Hot Summer? No, it wasn't Hot Summer.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of. You, I know it. You told me about it. It was like,
oh, it was like a summer camp.
Yeah. One. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I did not like very much, but they were in the same book, which I was like, oh my God, Queens. That's why I tried the book out, because they were both on it together, but it unfortunately wasn't very good.
If you could only listen to one male narrator and one female narrator for the rest of your audiobook life, who are you picking?
Zachary Weber and Brittany Presley.
I think I would too, as long as he's not phoning it in.
Yeah, I think I'd probably agree with you guys. I don't really have like a female narrator that's like my absolute favorite every single, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, because like, love Samantha Brentmore, I don't love her male voices.
Yeah, it's like they're pretty bad. She has another male voice, but she never uses it for the MMC. She'll always use it for like a side. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, switch those. Like, yeah, please. It sounds so much better.
Yeah, yeah. I think because there's such an abundance, at least to us, of amazing female narrators, it's harder to pick like who.
Like
you could listen
person.
To the rest of your life. Yeah, because there's so many that are so great. Whereas with the males, there's really there's not a large pool.
None of us said Alex Fink, but I think that's probably because we've only ever listened to one. I've only done Ready or Not with her.
Same.
I haven't listened to anything else.
Correct. Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good.
I hope she does Promise Me Sunshine.
Me too. I think that would be really interesting because that book's a little heavier than...
Very different. Mm-hmm. Kind of the joke delivery would have to be very different, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, what for you separates a good audiobook from a great audiobook, one where you're like, do this on audio? For me, it is like delivery of things. Like, personally, like, if the way that they're saying something makes me laugh, or the way that they're saying it makes me cry, like, I think about Zachary Weber's like voice cracks that happens, you know, because like, it would have been easier for him to like read that without doing that, read that sentence and still have like a sad tone, but it's like that extra oomph for me that like really kills it. That kind of like relates back to what we were just saying about Alex Finke, about like the way that she delivers those jokes in Ready or Not is what like made that a great audiobook to me. Not just the jokes, but the heavy moments too. Just like acting versus reading.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Agree. Yeah. Agree with everything that you said. I also think, you know, an author that I think really does audiobooks very, very well is Beth O'Leary. Her production of her audiobooks is also so just, well done.
Bro, that's a London thing. That's
they do. Yeah, they eat I don't us know up what it is.
Audiobooks. Yeah, it's the phone calls. Right. It's the phone calls. Every time you have
that's
a phone
what
call
I was just gonna
books,
say.
They put on that little voice filter and it sounds so cool because it becomes so immersive. Like, I think it's so good.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean there are obviously like books specifically and only meant for audio. Like Kara Bestone obviously has a large collection of books that are only on Audible. They're immersive audios, things like that. That makes sense. I would hope that the production on those types of things would be really well done. Although you do have like Ali Hazelwood just put one out that wasn't immersive. Yeah. It was just an audiobook. I saw somebody point that out, how it wasn't immersive, and I was like, oh yeah, you're so right. Why wasn't it?
Why was an audiobook exclusive?
Yeah. Exactly. What's the reason if it's not going to be any different? So yeah, definitely acting versus just reading. I think you can really tell when that happens. And that's, you know, if you're, especially if you're listening to a book that you either were really excited for, or you're like, maybe you already have read this book and you've loved it and you just want to try the audio out, but the audio is not good. It's so disappointing. Like, nothing worse.
Yeah. I think pacing does a lot for me too, because the narrator can really, oh my God, we're like sucking this guy's dick today. Zach Weber's really good at pacing. Like, I think he knows how to drive a book forward, and it's really funny when he's partnered with someone that like does not know how to do that, because you're listening to two separate book sets sometimes. But yeah, like with the Ready or Not, I think that's why it felt so great, because she knew when to say something really fast and she knew when to say something
right
like at a regular speed. And yeah, I think a lot of that though comes down to direction too. Like,
exactly,
I would love to know how involved, like, how directing works for an audiobook versus, you know, other forms, because some of the things that get through audiobooks, you're like, how did you not catch that? Mm-hmm. Or why did you choose to do it that way? And that's why I think the London people eat us up, the Brits, because their audiobooks are always so fun.
I will never forget in the audiobook of Wild Highway by Debney Perry, Jason Clark spent the entire book calling the main character Gemma instead of Gemma. Like, he thought G-E-M-M-A.
Really? I don't remember that. Oh my God.
Gemma. That's and the entire audiobook. And it was published and it's still out there. You can go listen. He says Gemma the whole audiobook.
Oh, that's horrendous. I would simply die if I were the author. But I like what you were saying, Kendra, with like direction. Yeah, I think with Alex, when she was narrating Ready or Not, she really got the material, if you will. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, she understood the type of joke and how it needed to be said in order to make it even funnier, not just on mm-hmm. paper, you know, but in your voice or in your, yeah, in your voice too, I guess. And so I think that that really, really helps as well. So yeah, yeah, I wonder if she like, she just read it herself and she was like, okay, I think this is how it's meant to be. Or yeah, how involved Kara was with that particular production, because she really understood the source material. And I think that you can tell when actors do.
And that's really. In our last episode, which you haven't listened to, our interview with Kara Bastone yet, you should go listen to mm-hmm. it right now, because she does talk a little bit about the fact that she was nervous after doing all those Audible originals and having so much control and so much input and so much mm-hmm. investment. Handing off Ready or Not to become an audiobook was like really daunting to her. And she kind of talks yeah. a little bit about that experience. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not to like continue to suck his dick, but like what you were saying about him pacing, I think about, even though I don't think this was his best performance, mm-hmm. I do think about him and Yours Truly. Like every time that Jacob's anxiety was like starting to go off, like the way he was talking would change, and the way that he was structuring mm-hmm. sentences would change. And like that's a good example of kind of what you were saying about Zachary Weber too, Kendra.
Yeah, and then some narrators just get really lucky. Brandy, I know this is your man, Jason Clark, but I think him getting the Kennedy Ryan Kingmaker series, I don't think anyone else could do that but him. I think that was a luck thing. Like, that his voice just fit that character so mm-hmm. well.
I've listened to a couple audiobooks with Jason Clark where I'm like, you shouldn't be here. So mm-hmm. I think what you're saying about not everybody can do what Zachary Weber can do, even though I love Jason Clark and I love that yeah. for the most part he's appropriately casted. There's mm-hmm. a couple of times where I've listened and I've been like, what are you doing here? Like, go back yeah. to the ranch.
Yeah, we've talked yeah. about how Stephen Dexter, we think his niche is like single hot dads, you know, or cow. Yeah. Maybe, does he do cowboys? Has he done any like Elsie books? I don't remember. But yeah, when he did a Chloe Lisa book, I was like, this is not.
Yeah, respectfully.
That's a good question to like ponder, is like, is that on the author? Is that on the narrator then? Because like mm-hmm. if they think that they're a talented narrator who could adapt to their book, is it on, mm-hmm. which I don't know the answer to this, is it on the narrator to adapt? Is it on them to like read the book and like as they're reading, like kind of figure it out? Or is the author like, that's a good narrator, do what you always do. And then you're like, that's not right for this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very interesting, because I think now like audiobook, I mean, I don't know, we haven't been in the reading space as long as some other people, but I think audiobooks, I would say since 2021, have a lot of authors have started to prioritize them. Authors who have never yeah. had their backlist recorded are suddenly doing like all these audios. So I think you can tell who is an audiobook author or who has a good team that understands audiobooks versus someone who's just probably going with like a really popular name and not understanding like, oh, like, this is probably not the best thing for this book or whatever. So I don't know. It's sometimes it works out, but sometimes it does not. Brandy, do you know who's doing Love to Forever?
I thought it was Connor Crace.
Yeah, Connor Crace. And
I don't remember. She told us who the girl was.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, because I was thinking like that was a good, the favorite audiobook. That was a good team. But again, like, I love Krista Backer. I think I don't know, sometimes I think she's someone who could probably be a little more expressive. Some, like, she has her cadence is, I don't know, again, I think it's just because I got fatigued, because mm-hmm. she does know yeah. she is expressive. I don't know what I'm talking about, but like,
no, I get it. I like
know. Yeah,
she has a a bag of tricks. That is a very good bag of tricks.
Yeah. So once you listen to that over and over again, you're kind of just like, all right,
yeah, I know what you're doing. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing for like the average audiobook consumer, but mm-hmm. we gobble those bitches down. So
yeah.
I think it's easy to get tired of a narrator. So I think that's really valid to like take breaks.
Yeah.
I got that way with Jason Clark. I listened to a ton of Jason Clark audiobooks last year, and I literally, yeah, I'm like, I'm okay for now. I'm gonna chill for a minute.
Yeah.
By the way, it's Megan Wicks who's doing Left It Forever.
I like Megan Wicks. I think she has a very good, for somebody who has like a gradier, deeper, kind of more masculine voice, if that's who you're trying to cast, mm-hmm. I think Megan Wicks does a really good job.
Okay. Okay. Are there any books or series that you've read since our first audiobook episode that you, when people are like, you're recommending this book or series to them, you're like, do it on audio only, like, or first at least,
mm-hmm.
like it is a series that you have to read on audio?
I mean, there's this little tiny series called
oh god
Shadowhunters. And I think if you want
really
to
short, read it, really short, really petite.
Really so tiny, like
it's a little itty, no waist. One.
Yeah. That is really good. I think that's like the best way. Especially I think fantasy on audio for me is just better now. Mainly because of like pronunciations of stuff. Like I mean, they don't always get it right. There are Shadowhunters books where they pronounce everything wrong and you're just like, what the fuck?
Stella.
Yeah. Oh. To this day that annoys the fuck out of me, but
City of Ashes, I'm coming for you.
It's just like, who did that? I don't know. I think those are pretty good on audio.
I think for me with fantasy on audio, it depends, because like, again, I'm so sorry, I keep using this example, as I'm listening to Ember in the Ashes, if there's a map involved, I need to mm-hmm. be able to see that map. And so like, I'm constantly referencing my physical copies of the map, because I'm like, I don't know where we're at right now.
That's so interesting, because I don't get,
but I don't look at maps.
I know, I love them. I need to know where everybody's at. And but like in a series with a series like Belladonna, which I personally think that you should read on audio,
I agree,
or listen to on audio. Agreed. You don't need a map, obviously, because first of all, there is no map, but
we know.
Yeah, there's, it just depends for me on the fantasy. What did you say?
She said we know. She's being an ass.
We don't, there's not, it's just not necessary anyway. So, yeah, I think it depends on fantasy. It depends on how intricate the world is to me.
Yeah, I think you can just get through that first 20% or whatever it is, that world building, for me, easier if I'm listening to it rather than, like, my eyes
I'm the opposite.
Glazing over it. Yeah.
I always tell people to read the pre-series on audio, which I'm pretty sure we talked about that one last time, but mm-hmm. still stands. And then, of course, the Belladonna series. I can't think of any others where I'm like, you have to do the audio.
So I think the Kingmaker series by Kennedy Ryan, I always tell people to do that one on audio, not because of the female narrator. She's not bad. She's just not great. And she sounds, I don't know where they found her, to be honest.
Yeah.
But Jason Clark is really good, and I think he adds, like, I don't know, his cadence in that series just makes it what it is. So that's a really good audiobook. I mean, Abby Jimenez, you can't really go wrong with any of her audiobooks, even for the first series. The only audiobook of hers I haven't done is The Friend Zone, but Teddy Hamilton does that one, so I'm not missing anything. but everything after that, I would do on audio from her.
One that I don't think you have to, I would just say, I think that The Unmaking of June Farrow is definitely a book that I think is really great on audio, specifically for accents. The Brittany Presley twang is great, and then there's another character that has a different accent than everybody else that I think you would not know that that's how he's supposed to sound.
Not at all.
If you're physically reading it. So I think that one is a really great one to do on audio as well. I think Laura Hankins' books, because she narrates them herself, are really great to do on audio, especially One Star Romance. And obviously, since she's the author, she fully understands and gets and really, really cares about the source material. And so delivery is, I think, really, really great on those ones too. So definitely would recommend those on audio for sure first.
Yeah. I'm trying, like, I feel like more I wonder if more authors would do that, because like, you know, if they could. I wonder like what gave her the push to be like, yeah, I'll narrate it. Because Jill Santopolo, who wrote The Light We Lost, she also narrates all of her audiobooks, which I think is interesting, which I read those first. So some of the, that's the kicker. If you read it first and then you listen to it and it's done by the author and you hear how they intended something to sound versus how you made it sound, you're like, ew. But, for the most part, we aligned, but at least with Laura Hankin, if you do the audio first, you won't have any other like input on how you think a certain thing should go. So,
right.
What are some recent audios? We've talked about a few here and there throughout this episode, but what are some recent audiobooks that you have either loved or hated?
I'll go first for loved. I need to think about hated. But okay. There's a YA novel called Every Time You Hear That Song by Jenna Voris. It's so good. I thought it was like very, like, it makes me wish I had like a teenager in my life that I could be like, you should read this. I think you'd like probably really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's dual narrated by two women and it's told in past and present. So you have one person doing the present and then one doing the past. And they all have like little country accents. And I thought it was just a really fun time on audio. Like, and I got that on PRH. And I can always tell when a book is good on PRH when I'm like, all right, I'll put up with the 2X. Like, I'm not like in the trenches with it. So
you're so funny. Yeah. I'm going to try and not talk about, I'm just going to rapid fire the ones that I've like talked about ad nauseum already on this podcast. So The Wedding People, One Star Romance, mm-hmm. Ember in the Ashes, Margot's Got Money Troubles.
Oh yeah.
Savor It.
Ooh, that one's so good.
Yeah. This Summer Will Be Different. Just for the Summer, Summer Romance. Okay. I've said those. We've talked about those so many times already. Yeah. So I'm going to try and not name those. But other ones that I really enjoyed this year, As Long As the Lemon Trees Grow by Zulfa Kato, I think is how you say her name. That audiobook was really, really well done. It was a very emotional read, but I think that the narrator did such a good job of evoking that emotion. And again, like we talked about, understanding the source material, especially because that one is such a heavy read. I also haven't really talked about this one, these next two books as much, but Seven Summers, it's a British audiobook. So again, we got the great UK production on that one, but I really, really enjoyed that one. It's a love triangle book. It's definitely not going to be for everybody, but I had a great time. Also, Summer Fridays, again, not a book that's going to be for everybody, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was so well done. It was also like a little bit different because they are largely communicating through email on AOL. So it was a little bit, it was kind of fun in that aspect. But those are some that I also really, really enjoyed this year.
I have devoured Rainbow Rowell's backlist almost entirely through audio, and I have loved every single one. The audio production, I thought, on all of them was very good, and it was interesting to see the difference in between some of her YA books versus the adult books and like how the audiobooks were done. And, you know, she wrote a fantasy trilogy versus her contemporary stuff. So that was really, really fun. When the World Tips Over by Jandy Nelson has an incredible audiobook production. That one is on Spotify if anybody wants to listen to it. It's really, really good. There's a full cast because there are four main characters, and then some of the other like lesser main characters still have their own narrator. So I think there's five or six narrators on that audiobook, and it's really well done. And I have listened to all of Cara Bastone's Audible originals this year and love those ones. The only one that I thought the production and not the writing, because I still really enjoyed the writing, but the immersive audio was almost a little too immersive for me, was...
Oh, don't say it.
Yeah, it was the best one.
When you say
Seatmate.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I love the romance in that one, and I love the characters. It literally was just like... I understand what the audio producers were trying to do with like making bags fall from the top and stuff like that. But honestly, like that took me a little out of it, whereas all the other ones sucked me in. But that might have been a me thing because my mom loved Seatmate. You guys, I know, really, really love the Seatmate.
Kayla and it didn't
okay. Oh, okay. It didn't distract.
I loved Seatmate.
Yeah, the immersion didn't distract you on that one the way that it did for me. But like all of her audiobooks are really immersive, and that was the only one that really, like, I was having a hard time with the immersion. But they're all so good. They're all worth listening to, including The Seatmate, and you might not have the same problem with it that I did.
Yeah. Her first series is on audio. I love those books. Like, I think they're really good. The first two audiobooks, if you can tell yourself like the story is good, you can get through it. The last audiobook is the best because they finally switched narrators and got a woman to do it. And they're all written in third person, which I don't know. I feel like you're a good writer when you can do both, right, in first and third. So I was thinking about that with Beth O'Leary because I just did The Flat Share by her on audio, which, again, got to give it to the Brits. That audiobook is so good. And like especially the guy who does Leon, Kayla pointed out that he's a nurse and he talks in shorthand like a nurse would write. And he does that so well. And like the way he would like pick up his voice sometimes and like, I don't know. It was just a really fun audio. And then Wake Up Call, also really fucking good on it. Like, I don't know where they found the narrator for the Wake Up Call, the male narrator. He's so good. Oh my gosh.
Really good. He's
Brazilian. Well, I'm assuming he's accent. Brazilian. He's at least a Latino man. He was doing so many different accents in that. Like, he was honestly eating up the girl, and the girl was good, but he was like running circles around her. Like, he did really good.
Yeah. I'm so excited to listen to the audio. Swept away.
Yeah. That would be a really fun, like, if they want to go full immersive, you like hear the waves.
No. I don't want to hear that. That'll give me anxiety. No, thank you. Yeah, if you want that, just put on a sound machine in the background while you're listening to it or something like that. Yeah.
I also really like, Brandy, this was a recommendation you gave me, the pairing on audio. I thought it has two narrators. The first narrator I thought was like phenomenal. The second one, he did something else. Max Myers is his name. And I thought that was a really fun audiobook. It has music in it, which I thought, I can go either or.
Yeah.
On music and audiobooks. I kind of don't like it if I'm like, I don't like it.
I don't even remember the music in there.
It's like a transitional music. So
Yeah.
And I was like, I can.
Especially because we listened to it so fast. I was listening to that. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Like, is it Forever? There's some publishing group. They always have music in their audiobooks. Oh, yeah, it is Forever because at the Abby's books, there's like some like guitar or some shit playing. I'm like, turn this shit off. Like, please just get to
it. It's usually only like at the beginnings, though. There's not always. That's fine. Like in the intro, I don't care. But anywhere else, no. I don't want anybody singing in the middle, you know? Anyway.
A lot of the audios that these people that Kayla and Brandy have said that I also really enjoyed. I really like This Spells Love by Kate Robb on audio. I thought that narrator, I forget her name, she's like another one-off where you're like, if you do more, I'll like you, but I've only ever seen you and or heard you in this. I really like her in that. I'm trying to think if I have a favorite Shadowhunters audiobook, but I don't know if I do.
I know.
I do. I'm lying. What is yours?
Are we talking strictly the audiobook production, or are we talking the story and the audiobook production combined?
Combined.
Then I'm going to say Queen of Air and Darkness. And then second place, City of Heavenly Fire.
Really? Okay. I think mine would be...
Wait, there's so many good ones. But also fucking... What's the third?
Clockwork Princess.
Yep, that's actually my number one.
Probably Clockwork Princess. That's my favorite.
Oh my God. The way that narrator does Will's Welsh accent makes me want to like... Ugh! Yeah,
it's really good. That one's probably my favorite. And then... What is it? Why am I blanking? The second book in Dark Artifices,
Lord of Shadows.
Strictly because of one, Lord of Shadows, because of the last part when he's like, he's like, my baby. I'm like, oh, that's crazy.
My baby. We're like,
yeah, and then I love most all
tragic
of...
scene ever.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. This is might be kind of random. Do you guys like it when the author uses the same narrator for all the books, or you like it when they switch it up? Because in what Brandy's listening to right now, the Last Hour trilogy by Cassie Clare, same narrator, all three books, which I thought for that one was pretty decent. But I don't know. I feel like the trend now is like we have to get different narrators, especially in like contemporary romance, different narrators for each book.
For each couple.
Unless, yeah.
I mean, I personally feel like, why fix a broken thing, you know? So, mm-hmm. like, if they're eating in the first book, everybody's going to be sad that they're not going to do the next book. So,
yeah.
But I don't know. Sometimes that stuff is scheduled so far out that they don't know if they're going to be well received. Like, I know that Zachary Weber books out months and months and months in advance. So, if you book him for your first book, I don't know. Like, you might have to immediately book for second and third, depending on how fast those books are being produced.
If I got Zachary Weber for my first book, best believe
he'll be in every contract. Single one.
Like, you're doing everything. Because I was thinking, like, Elsie Silver is someone who's doing that now, like, where, or she's, mm-hmm. I guess she's always done that, where she'll switch. And I'm like, oh.
I know. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, she's a really good narrator, too. She's South Asian. We met her at Steamulit. I'm forgetting. Let me look up her name. But she did Elsie Silver's, the third book in that series.
Oh, Mira?
Yes. And then she also did one of Nina Kumar. She did Nina Kumar's debut. We, like, definitely, like, went to her table or walked by her table. She was there. Or at least I did. Sonali Nankani. So sorry if I mispronounced that. But she did Say You'll Be Mine by Nina Kumar. And she's a really good narrator. And she also does... I'm almost positive.
Oh, we walked by that author's table. I know we did.
She's not an author. She's, well, we did her table, yeah, but that narrator was there.
Oh, I don't remember going by her table.
Because you just don't see color and, like,
Kayla walked right into that one.
Nina Kumar's next book, it's like a Sweet Home Alabama-esque book. It. About a married couple who's been separated and they get stuck in a house together during a hurricane in Houston.
Okay, I'm there.
That's like a hurricane in Houston. I'd literally rather be anywhere else. I hate that city. But no offense to my Houstonians. It's just why would you willingly live in a swamp? But no, I'm going to be there for the romance.
I do also want to say that this past year, and I think last year, yeah, I read this last year. I read Babel by R.F. Kuang last year on audio, and I thought that was so well done. It's very dense, but it was a really good audiobook.
I literally can't imagine trying to do that book on audio for my little tiny pea brain because of all of the footnotes and because of how dense the writing is in that book. Beautiful writing, just very dense.
They had a different, like anytime there would be a footnote, they had a different person say the footnote, and so I think that helped a little bit, but yeah, that one. And then I did Yellowface this year by her as well, and I thought that was a great audiobook as well. So
I will say shout out Spotify for the audiobook program that they have, because so many of my non-bookish friends have, like, started listening to books, because you were saying R.F. Kuang, and, like, John, he's, like, listening to the Poppy Wars. He ran out of hours. That's, like, the only
shit. He listened to the Poppy War? Oh, my gosh.
He got through most of it, and then he ran out of Spotify hours, so he has to, like, wait until they re-up.
Until next month.
Yeah, he did Yellowface by R.F. Kuang, too. And then, like, Madison, like, I was able to recommend her Ready or Not, and she loved it. And she did Beach Read on audio too. Like,
yeah, Daniel's listening to Mistborn right now. He's, like, always wanted to read Brandon Sanderson, but his books are so daunting because they're massive. So he's just been like listening to it on his way to school and back.
You're so right, because Jared's the exact same way. Jared's been listening to a lot of science fiction books on Spotify, and he gets so upset when he runs out of hours. And so I had to teach him how to use Libby and Hoopla. So now he has my Libby and Hoopla logins, and he uses those. So yeah.
Like, I think that's a really great program that they introduced, because it's like you don't have to go an extra step. The running out of hours does suck. I think they should just give people one book a month.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and it sucks because even if you up your speed, they don't count that as saving your hours.
That's so annoying.
Yeah, but if you are new to audiobooks and you don't want to pay for anything, or you just don't want to go through the trouble of getting a library card, because I know that can be a little scary and hard sometimes. I know people think getting access to library is really easy. It's not, especially if you live in, like, a book desert. Spotify, if you have it and you have the paid version, you can get audiobooks for free, and then you can start the process of getting a library card. Hopefully it goes well for you.
This week on our socials, on Instagram at Bring Your Own Pod, we're gonna be posting a little bit of, like, how to be the most frugal with your Audible credits versus, like, buying the audiobook, where we listen, how we, you know, listen, like Kendra was just saying, on Spotify for free, you know, if you're already paying for the subscription, or how to kind of navigate Libby in an effective way. That was something I had to learn how to do. So be on the lookout for that as well, if you're somebody who's like wanting to get into audiobooks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love them.
Go listen to one. They are fantastic. And you can listen to an audiobook doing, we said this in our first episode, but what do you guys like to do while listening to audiobooks?
Well, I've gotten back into crocheting in the last year, so I've been crocheting a lot. I haven't been doing my iPad games recently because I have been crocheting or doing something else. So I don't have a new iPad game. I'm still on I Love Hue if I'm ever doing an iPad game. But that's mostly, yeah, I'm walking, I'm crocheting, I'm doing my dishes, what have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love to clean while listening to audiobook, and that's how I know an audiobook is really good. If I'm like, it's not even like a cleaning day, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go scrub the bathroom floor because I want to keep listening to this audiobook. I also play a lot of solitaire on my phone while I'm listening to audiobooks.
Yeah, it's a lot for me. It's like driving. Mm-hmm. I'm usually listening while in the car, cleaning, yeah. doing anything like with my dog if we're like sitting outside. So there's so much. I did get off the games. I was playing Tetris a lot. And then I need to get new blue light glasses. Like my eyes just hurt. I turned off my screen time because it was getting bad. But yeah.
I'm going to be, I feel like I'm, I need to start stacking up audiobooks that I can listen to because, you know, I'm going to be moving soon. And so I have a lot of packing to do. Oh, I know. That's like,
you
I know.
You get through so, honestly, when I had to pack up this summer, that was like the best time because it was like monotonous, like listening, packing, and then unpacking everything. This library is sponsored by Lost and Lassoed. I got through that whole audiobook putting together my library, and that was just that. Like,
perfect. Yeah, so I need to start like thinking of some audiobooks because I have to get our house ready over the next couple of weeks. So we'll be having a lot.
I love you so much, and I swear to God, I'm not going to be annoying about this, but I'm just going to say this once, and I literally will not say it to you again.
I already know what you're going to say. I feel like, go ahead.
This is the perfect time to start the Mortal Instruments.
I knew it.
I'm not going to say it again, but let me quickly make a very short case for this. Those are audiobooks that you can speed up even faster than you normally listen. They are silly, especially the first two or three. You're going to be like, wow, this is so 2010. Like, this is so fun, like so nostalgic, a little silly. And then once you're hooked, you're hooked. And you've been like struggling with audiobooks recently. Like, just throw them on. There's no consequence. Brandy,
the thing is that like, I just have yet to do One Dark Window. And I think until that book is read, she is going
make
to
deal with
hold
me.
Out.
Make the deal with me, Kayla. I'll read whatever you want me to.
No, she's like, she's very adamant. Tonight. She's very adamant in the fact that she does not want to ever read that series. And so I apologize because I've kind of shot that dream.
That's what I'm trying to gentle parent right now.
Yeah. Brandy's trying to be the in-between and... Yeah, I appreciate it.
It's just there are so many times that I'm reading where I'm like, Kayla would eat this the fuck up.
Yeah, and the first Mortal Instruments book is narrated by Mae Whitman. And this is what I'm saying. Audiobooks need to become super cool again. I mean, I think they're getting there. I mean, we had Joshua Jackson narrating a romance book this year. Like a random ass hockey romance. Just it was
he
called Canadian Boyfriend.
He needs to do another one. I love Joshua Jackson.
Yeah. I'm like, your divorce must be expensive, huh? You're out here doing audiobooks. But I need more celebrities doing audiobooks. Like, they're fun. They're cool. Like, or at least a lot of celebrities do audiobooks. I need more celebrities doing romance books. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is it still, like, looked down upon? Like, what's going on? I wonder. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, because Julia Whelan's kind of iconic. I don't think they would do that to her. But when people we meet on vacation being... a movie now, like they sometimes have the cast like reread the book. I think that would be pretty fun. I don't know if Emily Bader would want to do that, but I think that'd be pretty cool and would sell a lot.
Just something to consider, Queen.
Oh, thank you, Brandy. Anyway. Well, yeah, we love audiobooks. Anyway. We love
audiobooks. And just because Kayla won't do Shadowhunters doesn't mean you don't have to. You should listen to the Shadowhunter series, especially if you want to get into fantasy. And or you are a fantasy lover and you want to see like a grandmother just own her children in the genre. I'm calling Cassie Clare a grandmother because she's been in this game a long time. But she's very influential, I would say. You read her and you're like, oh, that's where that person got that from. So she's pretty cool.
Anyways, we love audiobooks. Like I said earlier, be on the lookout for a post for us for how you can get into audiobooks if you are somebody who's on the brink. If you love an audiobook, tell us in the comments of this episode announcement on Instagram your favorite audiobook, one that we haven't mentioned that you are like, how did you not mention this? Or please read it. Please do that. We always love to get recs from you guys.
And yeah, if you enjoy listening to us yap about audiobooks, this is a very fun little chatty episode, and you have more things that you would love for us to chat about, please DM us. We have all of our social informations in the description of this episode. And if you really love this episode, you should rate and review us 5 stars because it would really mean a lot to us. And maybe if you give us 5 stars, Kayla will eventually break and read but one of the Mortal Instruments. So
please don't promise people that.
Kayla said if we get to 3,000 followers.
if you want Kayla to read Mortal Instruments, or you think she should, no one gives a fuck either. Like, everyone's just weird. Like, they're with Kayla. They're like, shut up. But yeah, if you enjoy this episode, you should do all the things that I just mentioned, and we will see you guys on the next one.
Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.